We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 87, Verses 26 and 27. Verse 26. Sari, Sariva Manaschi. Oh, I can't remember. Sariva Manaschi. Jai vipadya sad ananujat sara vimrishandhya se shamiramat matayatma vidha nahi vikritim cha jan tikannakasya jaratma taya Sakitam manupahi Samidam atmataya vasitam. Translation. The three modes of material nature comprise everything in this world, from the simplest phenomena to the complex human body. Although these phenomena appear real, they are only a false reflection of the spiritual reality, being a superimposition of the mind upon you. Still, those who know the Supreme Self consider the entire material creation to be real, inasmuch as it is non-different from the Self. Just as things made of gold are indeed not to be rejected, since their substance is actual gold, so this world is undoubtedly non-different from the Lord who created it and then entered within it. Mukam makaroti vachalam pangam langate grim yakripandam bande shi guru tirtalam omagana timiranda sya ganam chana shivakaya shakshamiritam yena tasamai shi vale. So what do you remember from yesterday's class? Vaipush? Body is our self, our friend, and our lover if we engage it in Krishna's service. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, Abhay? All the six darshans are defeated by Vedanta philosophy. Yes? One who gets fatigued in Krishna Katha derides all other pleasures that may exist. Yes? Okay. And what does it mean? Both. But it's referring to dharmartha, kama, moksha here. And one of them is spiritual, moksha is spiritual, and three are material. Yes. The Shrutis want to become gopis. Yes, we are remembering the bhakti verses very nicely. Sadarshan is more difficult to remember. Yes, Kaupit.
We can understand Krishna only through devotional service. Among them, Jira is the chief.
Yes, understand Krishna only through devotional service. Otherwise, he's far, far away. Yes.
Everything's coming from the atom.
Vaisheshika. Yeah, the atoms are not conscious. So how can they? They can't create karma. Right. Right. Very good. Yes. When we add Krishna, it becomes very nice. In the sixth, we have our Kapila Dev. Yes, we have our logic also. We use logic. Prabhupada was using logic to defeat everybody. Yes? Yes. Very nicely in Vedanta Sutta defeated all the darshans. And one reason why he wrote it was to defeat the darshans and to give the clear conception. Yes? Yes. Nayaka is our laughingstocks for everyone by saying that liberation means a loss of consciousness. It means you become unconscious, and that's just like the Buddhists. Just become unconscious, and that's liberation. Yeah, so their philosophies are they're not logical, and today we're going to get more into the impersonalist philosophy and see how it is also not very logical. It's not a very logical philosophy, yes. Crocodiles, yes, Kishidas Kaviraj calls them six crocodiles in the ocean. going back to Godhead, you have to cross this ocean. And in that ocean, there are some crocodiles that may get you on the way. And the six darshans are six of them. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because he wants to get rid of this all putatas.
Yes.
Six darshanas.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't want to wander in the darkness of the six darshans, but rather he wanted to chant the holy name to get rid of the darkness of the six darshans. Yes. It's very interesting because, I mean, this is what, you know, Indians, as you saw Dr. Patel talking with Prabhupada, the Indians are thinking this is our wonderful, glorious heritage, the six darshans. And they are thinking, this is India, this is our philosophy. But actually, no, it's not your philosophy. It's, well, in one sense it is, but it's not the real philosophy. It's not the real philosophy, Bhagavat philosophy, from Satya Yuga, and from which is eternal, Sanatana Dharma. It's not Sanatana Dharma. It's not eternal. It's temporary. Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to hear how this world is simultaneously real and unreal. How is this world unreal? From the verse, you can see, you can look at the verse, how it is unreal. False reflection of the spiritual reality. Yeah. It's a superimposition of the mind upon Krishna. So the world is unreal in the sense of our conception of it. Our conception, how we see the world, is unreal. There's also other things which are unreal too. Of course, part of it is our conception. It's temporary, yes. The forms. The forms are always changing. We may not see with our eyes how the body is changing, but it's always changing. So therefore, in Uddhava Gita, Krishna says, well, which body are you? Are you the 5-year-old body? Are you the 7-year-old? Are you the 20? Are you the 60-year-old? Which body are you? Because it's always changing. Even now it's changing, but not before our eyes. We can't see. The scientists agree. All the cells are changing. So that's how it is unreal. How is it real?
It's coming from real.
Yes, it's coming from real, and that means the substance is real. What it's made of is eternal. So what the world is made of is real. But the forms are always changing. And that's why in the second canto we hear, I believe it's Shukadeva Goswami say that it's a world of names. We call it a world of names. Names only. And so it is asat because the forms are temporary. Now what do the impersonalists say? Let's read the purport. In one sense, the visible world is real, sat, while in another, it is not, asat. The substance of this universe is solid fact, being the Lord's external energy, but the forms that Maya imposes on this substance are only temporary. And because material forms are temporary manifestation, those who consider them permanent are in illusion. Impersonalist scholars, however, misinterpret this division of sat and asat. Denying common sense reality, they declare that not only material form, but also material substance is unreal. And they confuse their own spiritual essence with that of the absolute whole. A Mayavadi philosopher would take the words spoken by personified Vedas in the preceding prayer, Trigunamaya Pumani Tipita, as negating any distinction between the Paramatma and the Jiva soul. He would claim, since the Jiva's material embodiment is an ephemeral display of the three modes of nature, when the Jiva's ignorance is destroyed by knowledge, he becomes Paramatma, the supreme soul. Bondage, liberation, and the manifest world are all unreal creations of ignorance. In response to such ideas, the Vedas here clarify the factual relationship between sat and asat. So we have to understand the sat and asat. What is the real meaning of sat? What is the real meaning of asat, first of all? And how we understand it from the Bhagavat philosophy and how they understand it from the impersonalist philosophy. They say this world is asat, including the substance. It's all false. It's all false. This is the illusion. And we say The illusion is how we see this world. Actually, the world is real, the substance is real, but the forms are temporary. So the forms are more or less unreal because they're here today and gone tomorrow. So that's the difference. That's what he's pointing out in this paragraph. So, it's all in your mind, according to this verse. We are imposing what our mind is thinking. And that's the Mayavadis also agree. It's all in your mind. You're seeing this world, but actually it's not really real. Reality is somewhere else. And its reality is not this world. Of course, we also say this world is a reflection of reality, but that doesn't mean that it's false. So the Vedas say the mind is created from asat and is the foundation of everything. So we'll find that the mind is everything. This is in the purport. Supreme mind was originally created from asat, they say. This is what the Shrutis, this impersonalist say. The supreme mind was originally created from asat. This mind created Prajapati. Prajapati created all living beings. Thus, mind alone is the ultimate foundation of everything that exists in this world. So impersonalists might misread this to mean that all manifest existence is based on the unreality of illusion. So that's what they say. Mind means material mind. That's what the impersonalists say, asat. Apparently contrary use of the word asat in this passage actually refers to the original cause, the Supreme Godhead, because he is transcendental. He is sat. So Vedanta Sutra also says, if one objects the material world and its source cannot be of one substance because the world has been called unreal, we reply, no, because the statement that Brahman is asat makes sense in terms of his having qualities distinct from those of the creation. So Taittiriya Upanishad says, asat dava idam agra asit, in the beginning of this creation, only asat was present. So that's very nice for the impersonalist to say, yes, it was only from the material mind that everything came. But actually we understand that before the beginning of the creation, there was sat. So after, in the beginning of creation, it is on asat because it's temporary. The creation is temporary. But the foundation of the creation is eternal. So then in the purport, the word adhimana, in the opinion of Jiva Goswami, the word adhimana, and the passage quoted above, refers to the ruler of the aggregate mind of the universe, Lord Aniruddha, who appears as a plenary expansion of Shinaran when the latter desires to create. Prajapati is Brahma, father of all other created beings. So then he describes from another Upanishad, Lord Narayan meditated upon another desire of his. As he pondered, a drop of perspiration fell from his forehead. All the material creations evolve from the fermentation of this drop. Tell the scientists that and see what they'll say. A drop of perspiration came from God and everything was created. Therein the fiery golden egg of the universe appeared, and within that globe four-headed Brahma took his birth. It all started with a drop of perspiration when Narayan had a desire to create this world. So material world, again, the impersonalists say, life comes from matter. But we say, so they say in the beginning was asat, and that's also the Sankhya philosophy, atheistic, that it begins with Purusha and Prakriti, but that is Jiva and Prakriti, which are asat, according to them. Jiva does not exist. It's a false conception, Jiva. And we'll find out more about that in verse 27, that actually they say when Brahman becomes covered by Maya, he thinks he's Jiva. But actually he's Brahman. That's the reality. So, but it's very illogical. It's very illogical. Brahman, think of Brahman. Brahman is eternal, it's spiritual, and is going to become covered by Maya. How is that possible? So, and then a bigger portion of Brahman becomes Krishna, or the Purusha. Maybe bigger part of Brahman becomes covered by Maya. Yes?
I wondered why, these things are so simple for anybody to understand. And yet, we hear about great Vaishnavas, all the emerging persons, for so long. creative and realize that they couldn't. So is it based on certain rules?
Yeah, well, it's based on Sanskrit. Sanskrit. So they know how to interpret Sanskrit in so many ways. So that's why they have trouble. It's based on rules. It's based on Sanskrit. They only speak on Upanishads and Vedas. They don't accept Bhagavatam and so many things. So you go to Banaras, you find a lot of impersonalists at the universities. Gopi Pranadani used to. And they don't have Bhagavatam in their library. So, at least the way he was teaching in one of the biggest universities. So, they have their rules. No God, no Krishna, no. And you can only speak from certain, and then only Shankaracharya. And so it's very difficult because they don't accept and they don't accept defeat. In the past, they were more honest and they would accept defeat in the time of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and these people, they were honest. Impersonalists, and they accepted defeat when it came. But now they don't accept defeat, even when they're defeated. They would just, I know I was talking with somebody, he said, why do you think like that? Don't think like that. After, you answer their arguments, why do you think like that? they don't accept. So it's very difficult to defeat them. Even you defeat them, they don't accept that they're defeated. So this is the thing. So material world is a transformation of its ingredient cause. So the Lord pervades his creation. That's the end of the purport, where it says, it's talking about the analogy of gold. It appears when you take the original substance of gold and you make it into that. So the ingredient cause is the gold. But when you change it, you make it into jewelry, then that is, they say, okay, this is false. But we say, no, it's still gold. The impersonalists say, no, the jewelry is false, but the original gold is real. So it's very illogical how they think. So Srila Swami says, Yat sattvata sadabhati jagare tarasat svata sadabha samasatyasmen bhagavantam pajamatam. Let us worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by virtue of whose substantial existence this created world seems to exist perpetually, although it is essentially insubstantial. As a supersoul, he constitutes the representation of the real within this unreality. So it appears real, and even in the first verse of Bhagavatam, it says, by the mixture of the modes, even the demigods are bewildered into thinking that it's real, it's permanent. They think like that, but it's very difficult. So this is our philosophy, again, of Achintabheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneously real and unreal. How to apply this? Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book gives us a very nice way to see this philosophy, how it is simultaneously real and one and different, same quality and different in quantity. Also, Prabhupada talks about the gold example, that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and are qualitatively one, but they are now differently shaped in 8,400,000 species of life, just like many different ornaments manufactured from the same source of gold. So he's taking the example of the living entities. The original gold is Krishna, and the different transformations are the living entities. And then he says, as one who is interested in gold accepts all the differently shaped gold ornaments, so a Vaishnava, knowing well that all living entities are of the same quality as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepts all living entities as eternal servants of God. So, if you see all living entities as eternal servants of God, then what do you do? What is the next step? You're seeing, these are all servants of Krishna. Therefore, I'd better become one too. That's a good one. Make friendship. No, you need to preach. Friendship with devotees. No, you need to. But they forgot. I mean, they all forgot. If you go and make friends with them, oh, you're a servant of Krishna, they'll think you're crazy, most of them. So Prabhupada says, as a Vaishnava, one has ample opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by reclaiming these conditioned, misled living entities, training them in Krishna consciousness and leading them back home, back to Godhead. So this is from Krishna book. It's not from the purport. You won't find it. Oh, I don't know. But you have to dive into the personified Vedas and find it, because I didn't put page numbers, since they're always different. And anyway, there were no page numbers. It was on folio where I got this. Yeah, so you just have to find out the example of the gold and the gold bangles. And then you'll find this beautiful application of this analogy that Prabhupada makes. He applies everything to preaching. Preaching application. The fact is, the minds of the living entities are now agitated by the three material qualities. And the living entities are therefore transmigrating as if in dreams from one body to another. When their consciousness is changed into Krishna consciousness, however, they immediately fix Krishna within their hearts, and thus their path for liberation becomes clear. There is a very nice quote from a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada was saying that if you can just fix the lotus feet of Krishna in your mind, then your mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. So that's all we have to do. Just fix the lotus feet of Krishna. It's in a purport. So we are of the same quality as Krishna, but we are, so this is all a Chinta Beta Beta philosophy. Same quality, quantity is different. We're very small and he is very big. And Prabhupada says in Krishna book, both the Paramatma and Jivatma are within this material world, and therefore the material world has a purpose other than sense gratification. If Super Soul is here, and he's not taking part in the sense gratification, there must be a different reason. Why would he be here? He's not here to enjoy. So that's what Prabhupada says. And Jiva is also here, and he's not here to enjoy. It's not the purpose. So Prabhupada tells us, what is asat? What is actually illusion? The conception of a life of sense gratification is illusion. So that is the real illusion. That is the real vivartavad. Thinking that life, the purpose of life, is sense gratification. But the conception of service by Jivatma to Paramatma, even in this material world, is not at all illusory. So what is reality? Reality in this world is serving Krishna. That is reality. Illusion is serving your senses. A Krishna conscious person is fully aware of this fact, thus he does not take this material world to be false, but acts in the reality of transcendental service. Devotee sees everything in this world as an opportunity to serve the Lord. He does not reject anything as material, but dovetails everything in the service of the Lord. So one time Prabhupada was sitting in his room, and he had received a beautiful sweater. And Prabhupada was commenting, oh, this is really nice. See how wonderful it is. And one devotee said, well, isn't that Maya? He said to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, see this beautiful girl here. You think this is Maya? No, she can be used in Krishna's service. Whatever you use in Krishna's service, this is not Maya. And so sometimes when we join, we have this impersonalistic vision, because it's widespread all over the world that working is Maya, you should just give up everything and become spiritual, and everything is Maya. But no, the more Krishna conscious you become, then the more you see how everything belongs to Krishna, and everything can be used in Krishna's service. Sridhar Swami, now he quotes Sridhar Swami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always manifested as reality, even within this material world, which is considered by some to be false. So Prabhupada says, the conception of the falsity of this world is due to lack of knowledge, but a person advanced in Krishna consciousness sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Sarvam kalv idam brahma. So they like to say that. Impersonalists also like to say, Sarvam Kalvidam, everything is Brahman. But the real understanding of Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma is that Krishna is within everything, and therefore, and Krishna owns everything. He is a proprietor, therefore we should use everything in his service. So then, in Krishna book, continues about the impersonalists. They say this world is false, and the only the absolute truth is factual. But we say the material world, although temporary, is not false, but factual. So what is the truth about of the matter? Prabhupada says, factually, material world is simultaneously both truth and untruth. It's both. It is truth, because everything is an expansion of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It is untruth, because the existence of the material world is temporary. So the Mayavadis say, okay, this cosmic manifestation is certainly an emanation from the Absolute Truth, but it doesn't have any truth in it. That's what they're saying. So according to this view, Brahman is truth in this world, although a product cannot be taken as truth. And Prabhupada says that in Gita, this is the view of the demons, asuras. And he says, asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahur anishanam. Asatyam, they say this world is asat. That's the Mayavadis. That is verse 8 of 16th chapter. Aparaspara sambutam kimanyat kama hetukam. The only cause is lust. That is the cause of this world. Interaction of matter. No God. And so from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada also defeats this argument. Brahma satyam jagan mitya. Jagat mitya. Jagan mitya. So Prabhupada also says, some of the energy is temporary, sometimes manifested, sometimes unmanifested, but this does not mean it is false. And he gives a really interesting example in Krishna book, how to understand what it means about temporary. How temporary doesn't mean false. The example is given when a person is angry, he does things which are different from his normal condition of life. But the fact that the mood of anger appears and disappears does not mean that the energy of anger is false. You got that? It looks so. The energy of anger is real, though it appears that now the person is angry, he seems like a different person. Doesn't seem like that person. So but the anger comes and goes. But it's temporary. But that doesn't mean it's false. He was angry. Person was angry. So, what else does Prabhupada say here? Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers push forward the argument, if this world is truth, why are grihasthas advised to give up their connection with this world and take sannyas? So what is the answer to that? If it's truth, it's okay, then why should we take sannyas? Why are grihasthas advised to take sannyas? How would you answer Sometimes the Mayavadi philosophers push forward the argument, if this material world is truth, why are householders advised to give up their connection with this material world and take sannyas?
Yeah.
Okay, this material world is not for sense gratification. Anything else? Yes?
They are not advised to give up household life immediately, only at a certain stage, to facilitate the full engagement of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Only at a certain stage?
There's two kinds of household life.
Two kinds of household life? Good.
Use it for their own pleasure, then they should give it up.
Right. If they use it for Krishna's pleasure, they should continue, yes.
So the word of sannyas means like detachment from this material world.
Right.
Truth is there, but just to detach this material world, they advise for the rest to take a sannyas.
Yeah, to detach. So Prabhupada's answer is, yeah?
Sannyas is also a purificatory process.
Right.
In succession of the others.
Yeah. So what Prabhupada says is that the two of them, the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas, have different understandings of sannyas. Their understanding is different. And so the Mayavadis, when they say take sannyas, they mean don't have any relationship with the world anymore. Just leave it. Reject it. Reject the world. But Vaishnava sannyas is not that they reject the world. They engage everything in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada says the purpose, the Vaishnava philosopher's view of sannyas is not because the world is false, one therefore should give up material activities. So their idea of sannyas is that no more activities. You don't act anymore. You don't do anything. And you just reject the world. But the Vaishnavas, they act. The sannyasis, they act. They travel. They preach. And Prabhupada said the purpose of Vaishnava sannyas is to utilize things as they are intended to be utilized. Rupa Goswami has given transcendentalists two formulas for dealing with this material world. When a Vaishnava renounces materialistic way of life and takes to sannyas, it is not on the conception of the falsity of the material world, but to devote himself fully to engaging everything in the service of the Lord. So that's the answer Prabhupada gives it. Actually, so they can engage everything fully in the service of the Lord. That's why the Vaishnavas take sannyas. And it's not how the Mayavadis think. They're thinking, okay, then you also think the world is false. That's why you take sannyas. Why are you taking sannyas? You're also thinking it's false. No, they're taking sannyas for a different reason. Everything should be utilized for Krishna. A materialist sticks to the world for sense gratification, but a Vaishnava sannyasi, although not accepting anything for his personal sense gratification, knows the art of utilizing everything for the service of the Lord. Yes, we can also be grihasthas and do that. If you come to a certain level of advancement, then sannyas is very good. It's very good to take sannyas. Not for ladies.
No, sannyas.
No, it's not when you become weak you take sannyas.
Physically.
Yeah, that's why Prabhupada gave sannyas to young guys, young men.
No, but actually sannyas should be taken at the age of
50. Because now we don't have 100 years lifetime, so therefore people are lucky to live to 70.
Every 25 years we are changing.
Yeah, before. No, it's younger.
Because yeah.
Okay, so now I would just like to discuss a little bit about sat and asat. In Kapila Dev's in third canto, this is described about Purusha, Prakriti, and Jiva, and the relationship between the Purusha, the Ishwara. So in this case, we are using Purusha as meaning Ishwara, or the Supreme Lord. And Prakriti is Prakriti, and Jiva is Jiva. So also Sat and Asat is there. So Srila Prabhupada explains in a purport, this cosmic manifestation is Sat, Asat, because it's temporary, but the material energy, Prakriti, is Sat. And he describes it's just like the relationship between the Lord and if he's the husband, then he's the husband of Prakriti. And as the father, he's the father of the jivas. So there's two relationships. The Ishra has a relationship with Prakriti as husband and relationship with jiva as father. And that is eternal relationship. The relationship with Krishna and Prakriti and jiva, that's eternal. But the relationship of Prakriti as a mother to the jiva, that is asat, that is temporary. Sometimes this world manifests and sometimes it doesn't. So therefore, the relationship between jiva and Prakriti is asat. It is not eternal. Only the relationship between Ishra and jiva, that is eternal. And sometimes Prabhupada says the material nature, sometimes it manifests, sometimes it's not manifest. So just like the mother and father exist, sometimes the mother has children and sometimes she doesn't. So that's just like when this material world manifests. So then she's having children. So Krishna, he's the supreme controller. Prakriti is the controlled by Krishna. And the conditioned soul thinks he is also Ishvara. But actually he's controlled by Prakriti. And the liberated soul, he's controlled by Ishvara. He's controlled by Krishna. So these are the different relationships that are going on. There is Asat there, and the Asat is the relationship with Prakriti and Jiva. It's temporary. Prakriti and Jiva. But she's our mother, but only temporarily is she our mother. Only for this body. When we actually, our eternal relationship is with Krishna. Now there's a really nice, interesting purport in 7th canto, 13th chapter, verse 6, about the difference about the Gyanis and Karmis and how they think. And the verse goes, since the material body is sure to be vanquished and duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, living entities in this world, not only now, also in the past, have been involved in trying to solve the problem of birth and death. Some stress death and point to the illusory existence of everything material, whereas others stress life, trying to preserve it perpetually and enjoy it to the best of their ability. So who are these two classes of people? Yes?
Mayavadis.
Death. Yeah. This world is death. It is to be rejected.
And the karmis,
they say, no, this is life. This we should enjoy. Prabhupada said, both of them are fools and rascals. So then he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Adadi karma phale pori pavarnava jale tari bari na dekhi upai. One should observe the activities of eternal time, which is the cause of birth and death. But the actual form of life, now this is verse 7, 13, 27, is one of spiritual happiness. And the only way to achieve that is when you stop all materialistic activities. So this is the boy, the avaduta, who's lying down on the road like a python. He's preaching this philosophy. I've stopped all my activities because this world is simply imagination. Material enjoyment is simply imagination. So Prabhupada says we agree with the Mayavadis in the sense that there is no happiness here. We both agree on that point. But they want to stop all activities and merge into Brahman. But we say, no, if you stop activities, then still you have to do something because the nature of the soul is activity. So you can't stop for long. So better to engage in spiritual activities. So now I'll just read something from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the illusion again, the asat. And Parinamvad and Vivartavad, and that'll be more touched on in the next verse. Vivartavad is the theory of illusion, and Parinamvad is the theory or the actual transformation of the energy of the Lord, Shakti Parinamvad. So I'll read this. And this is described in Vedanta Sutra. Vyasa suchete kohe parinamavad, vyasa pranta bolitaru thailo vivad. In Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva has described everything is but a transformation of the energy of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, has misled the world by commenting that Vyasadeva was mistaken. Thus he has raised great opposition to theism throughout the entire world. So he said Vyasadeva has written, parinamavad is actually what happened, that the energy is transformed. And Vyasa said, and Shankaracharya said, no, this is a mistake. How can Brahman be transformed? So then he made his vivad, a different philosophy, vivartavad.
What is transformed?
The energy is transformed. But Shankaracharya says, no, you are transforming Brahman, and Brahman cannot be transformed. Yeah. According to Shankaracharya, by accepting the theory of transformation of energy of the Lord, one creates an illusion by indirectly accepting the absolute truth is transformed. CC Adi, let's see, Adi 7. Yeah, Adi 7, 123 and around there. So I'll read a few more verses. Vastuta parinamavad sheshe praman dehe atma buddhiye vivartelstan. Transformation of energy is a proven fact. It is the false bodily conception of the self that is illusion. So, the Prabhupada explains what is vivarta, real vivartavad. There is real vivarta, or real illusion, is accepting of the untruth to be truth, accepting this body as a self. That is an example of illusion. So this is the illusion, the conception that this world is for my sense gratification. That is illusion. The conception that the body is the self, that is illusion. But not that the world is illusion. The world is not illusion. The world is real. Avichinti shakti yukta shi bhagavan ichai jagadrupe pai parinam. Supreme Personality of God, it is opulent in all respects. Therefore, by his inconceivable energy, he has transformed material cosmic manifestation. So their problem is, they think 1 minus 1 equals 0. But we say 1 minus 1 equals 1. So that means that Krishna, after he creates, he is still there. He is still, one is still there. He is everything. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate. But they say no, if he creates, then there's this big pie, and you take one piece out of the, you know, take one, two pieces out, that's the material world, then you don't have the whole pie. And we say, no, the whole pie is still there. And the example that Krishnadas Kaviraj gives is just like a touchstone. A touchstone, if you can transform by its energy, it can turn iron into gold. But it remains the same. So similarly, although Krishna transforms his energies into different things. He may make material, he makes spiritual, he makes so many things. He remains the same, just like a touchstone. Although a touchstone produces many varieties of valuable jewels, it nevertheless remains the same. It doesn't change its original form. If there is such inconceivable potency in material objects, why should we not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 7, 126. So, verse 27, the Shrutis are going to make a very heavy statement about how the devotees are the best, and the Karmakandis, they will defeat the Karmakandis also in this verse, or the Karma Mimamsa. Dravapadiye charant yakila satvani ke tataya ta utapada kramant yavigana shiro nirite parivaya se pashun eva gira vibhutam apitams taikita sahita kalupunantina ye vimukaha. The devotees who worship you as the shelter of all beings disregard death and place their feet on his head. But with the words of the Vedas you bind the non-devotees like animals. So they be vastly learned scholars. It is your affectionate devotees who can purify themselves and others, not those who are inimical to you. What a relief. We finally got another bhakti verse. But also in the purport there will be a lot about Vivartavad, Parinamvad, and all these. So it's going to be there. We prepared you from the last verse, and now we will get into it more in this verse. But here is such a wonderful comparison between the devotees who are liberated even from death and the non-devotees who are bound up by the Vedas like animals. Even if they're learned scholars, they're bound up. They may even think they're liberated. Aham Brahmasmi. but they're completely bound. So Jiva Goswami has a comment. Hearing this, now some other Shrutis who are proponents of bhakti, devotional service, speak, saying, what is the use of such knowledge which is cultivated only with great trouble and devoid of love for you? Much better than this is devotional service to you, which comes as its fruit and which is imbued with transcendental love of Godhead. So we heard the last two verses, Satdarshan, and then the last one was a lot about transformation of energy and the creation and the illusion. So this verse, again, we're back with bhakti and how it's so superior that even they don't care about death. So what's the use of all your speculating whole day long and whole life long if you can't free yourself from death? And so they're saying this. Now, a little bit before we get into the purport about Vivartavad and Parinamvad again, this is from Jiva Dharma. So there's two concepts of Parinamavad. There is Brahma Parinamavad, and that is the conception of the Mayavadis, who say that Brahman transforms itself into living entities and material nature, that it Brahman is there, everything is Brahman, but it becomes covered. And there's actually three different ways that they understand what is this, how it becomes changed, three different ways. Then the second Parinamavad, or transformation, Takshakti Parinamavad, that Achintya Shakti, that is our Vaishnava philosophy, is transformed partly into Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. So three energies, there's the internal, there's the external, and then there's the marginal. So sometimes the marginal is manifested as the material. The marginal is under the control of the cosmic manifestation, or Maya, when Maya becomes transformed, when it produces byproducts, being by the glance of the Lord. So this is called Vivartavad. This, not ours, but the Mayavadis, is Vivartavad, the impersonal philosophy, how Brahman becomes transformed. So they don't like our philosophy, they don't like our Parinam, because they're saying, no, if you say that way, it's transformed. But what they're saying, what their philosophy is saying, that it is transformed, that it's changing, it's covered, it's being covered. So three ways, three versions that they say. Brahman becomes deluded. And when in a deluded state, first of all, Brahman thinks he's a jiva. Becomes deluded and thinks, and then the jivas are created. Jiva is actually Brahman, but because of the bewildering influence of Maya, they have separate identities. So we're all Brahman, but we're all thinking that we're jiva, that we're separate people. But actually we're all the same one Brahman. That is their philosophy. But somehow we forgot, somehow we got deluded into thinking we're different. And that's why we're all sitting here in the different pieces. But once we realize we're Brahman, then we'll be liberated. Now we're in contact with Maya. If we dissociate with Maya, take sannyas, you become Brahman, Narayan. That is theirs. So that's number one. Then the second one is that the jivas are bewildered reflections of Brahman. We're just like the reflections now. Also, it's false, this idea of separate identity. It's just false. And sooner we get rid of it, the better, they say. Just take sannyas. Then third idea, Brahman is dreaming. So we're just dreaming now that we are separate. He has created the jivas in this inferior material universe. So, now the purport. Let's see the purport. Now the purport lists all the mistaken concepts of all the six darshans to begin with. And it says it in Sanskrit. And it's rejecting all the six darshans and accepting devotional service. Personified Vedas have now set aside the erroneous means mistaken, philosophies of several contending schools. The Asadupativad of the Vaisheshikas, who presume a material source of creation. Asadupativad. So Asad is the creation is coming from Asat. Life is coming from matter, Vaisheshikas. The Sad Vinashavad of the Nayayikas, who would deprive liberated soul of consciousness. So they destroy sad, and that's liberation. The Sagunatva Beda Vada of the Sankhyas. Ah, his crown fell off. Of the Sankhyas, who isolate the soul from all his apparent qualities. So that is the Atmana Bidam. That is the dualistic, actually, the dualistic conception of the Sankhyas, is they separate the soul from his qualities, like activity. The Vipanavada of the Mimamsakas, who condemn the soul to eternal involvement in the mundane commerce of karma. And the Vivartavada of the Mayavadis, so that's the sixth one, Vivartavada, who denigrate the soul's real life in this world as a hallucination. It's all a dream. Just wake up and realize you're Brahman. Having rejected all these ideas, the personified Vedas now present the philosophy of devotional service, Paricharya Vad. So we also have a Vad here for devotional service, Paricharya Vad. The Vaishnavas who accept this philosophy teach the Jiva soul is an atomic particle of spiritual personality who possesses minute knowledge, is not independent, and has no material qualities. We do have some knowledge. We are not independent. We have no material qualities. Being minute, he's prone to come under control of the material energy where he suffers the pains of material life. He can end his suffering and regain the shelter of the Supreme Lord's divine internal energy only by rendering devotional service to the Lord, not by engaging in fruitive work, mental speculation, or any other process. And then he quotes Bhagavad Gita, our Lord Krishna. This is not Bhagavad Gita, this is 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Bhakyaham ekaya kraya shariyatma apyasatam bhakti punati man nishtas shapakan apisambhavat. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. So then, now another Sanskrit word here, that is Akhila Sattva Niketa, and it has two different meanings. We'll hear what those meanings are. Devotees of the Lord worship him as the shelter, Niketa, of everything that exists, Akhila Sattva. So he's the shelter of everything. Moreover, these Vaishnava devotees themselves can be called Akhila Sattva Niketa. In the sense, their abode and shelter is the philosophical truth of the reality, sattvam. So devotees are also in sattva. Their abode is sattva of both the material and spiritual worlds. So that's why a devotee is transcendental, because it doesn't matter if he's in the material world or spiritual world, he's in the shelter of Akhila Sattva. Madhvacharya says he created this world as real. Seventh canto says, Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satya Kriyat, creator of a real universe of matter and living entities. So another meaning of Kila Sattva Niketa by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti, more confidential meaning, the Supreme Lord's personal abodes are in no way Kila or imperfect, and so are called Vaikuntas, the realms free of anxiety and restriction. Vaishnavas whose devotional service the Lord has kindly accepted are so sure of his protection, they no longer fear death, which becomes for them just another easy step on the way back to their eternal home. So death for devotees is an easy step back to Godhead. Another, yes. We have a few more easy steps in this life too, like when we get obstacles to our devotional service, when we get problems, anxieties, they are also easy steps. We don't think they're easy, but actually, they're easy steps back to Godhead. Otherwise, if you can solve these problems by taking shelter of Krishna, solve your anxieties by taking shelter of Krishna, then that means you don't have to take another birth. Because each of these things that happen could mean another birth. So that's why it's easy. Easy is just another. You're saving yourself a lot of time. So devotees, they don't fear death. They see it's an easy step on the way back to their eternal home. Because, okay, this birth is finished, then maybe I have a few more births. And then I'm back. Why? So, but are only devotees of the Lord eligible for liberation from the fear of death? Why are other mystics and learned scholars disqualified? Is asked in the purport here. So, or perhaps Vishnu Chakravarti is asking. And the answer is given by the Shrutis. Anyone who is Vimukha, who has not turned his face toward the Lord with hopeful expectation of his mercy, is bound up in illusion by the same words of the Vedas that enlighten the surrendered devotees. Vimukha. Here, Vibhuta. They are Vibhuta. Vibhuta is wise, actually. Vibhuta is very wise devotees. Vimukha is where? Oh, at the end. Yeah, Vimukha is at the end. So these other people, the six darshans people, are Vimukha. So therefore, they are disqualified for liberation, even though their whole purpose of their philosophy is liberation. Because they have not connected themselves to the reality. They are actually all wandering in darkness, as we heard Sri Rāsvāmī say, wandering in darkness of illusion. Their whole philosophy is illusion, because they are Vimukha. As soon as you connect it, then they can make some progress. The Vedas themselves warn, the threads of this transcendental sound form a string of sacred names, but also a set of binding ropes. With the rope of their injunctions, the Vedas tie up this entire world, leaving all beings fettered by false designations. So the Vedas help you enjoy. And that's why Vyasadeva was chastised by his guru, Narada Muni. Why have you written these Vedas that you will encourage people to be... You have given them all these rules and regulations, and you've given them a very nice fruit at the end, but they will just take the fruit and forget about the rules and regulations. Yes? Yeah. Right. Now science is substituted for the Vedas. That this, they accept science as God, actually. The scientists are trying to say, yes, we will very soon create. Just wait. We've been waiting since I was in high school. They said that. And now it's been another 50 years. So, you know, we're still waiting for them to come fulfill their promises that they made, that we are going to create. They haven't even created one ant, as Prabhupada pointed out, in their laboratories. One mosquito, one ant, they have not created. One egg. So the point on death, how the devotees overcome death, we heard of Dhruva Maharaj, how when he was, he saw the Vaikuntha airplane come down, he took his bath, he circumambulated the airplane, he did his morning program, and offers respects to all the Vaishnavas who were there, accepted their blessings, then he got on the airplane. And he stepped, huh?
Made sure his mother.
His mother. Yeah, after, yeah. So he stepped on the, you know, the plane was a bit high, he needed some stairway there, and Yamaraj provided his head, and he stepped on Yamaraj's head, death came, and death was his stairway to the airplane. That's how he got on the plane, through death. He wanted to get the dust of his lotus feet. Yamaraj was there to get the dust of Dhruva Maharaj. And so Prabhupada says when a devotee dies, it's not the same as when a non-devotee dies. So this is where everyone will find out that God exists. Whoever doesn't believe in God at time of death, they will find out that God exists. And even in time of war, they say there's no atheists in the battlefield, in the foxholes. Foxholes means they dig a hole in the front lines and they go in there. And our one devotee soldier was preaching on the front lines and made many people devotees on the front lines.
More than one.
Now we have...
We lost a few?
Oh, we lost some devotees. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, back to Godhead. Back to Godhead. So then we'll go back to the purport, aparoksha. Reality of the soul and super soul is aparoksha, perceivable, but only to one with transcendental vision. So you have to wait for that. Philosophers whose hearts are impure mistakenly presume this truth is instead paroksha. It can only be speculated upon and never experienced directly. So these six darshan people, philosophers, they say, well, you cannot see reality. You cannot see the soul and super soul. It's unperceivable, imperceivable. You can only talk about it. Actually, some of them say you can't talk. So Prabhupada says, so then why do you write books? You can't describe. It's indescribable. Why are you writing so many books? And some of them write, don't accept guru. So then why are you writing a book? They're accepting you as guru. And that was part of Radhana Swami. Somebody came and who was teaching that philosophy, he and his friend, Radhana Swami. And his friend was a leader of a Buddhist monastery. So they were going together to hear one philosopher, and the philosopher was saying, Krishnamurti. Yeah, it just came to me too. That it was that philosopher, and he was saying, reject all gurus. So then the person, Radhana Swami's friend, said, Radhana Swami, what are you going to do? He doesn't believe in guru. You're a guru. You have an institution. And so then the Buddha said, yes, I'm going to follow his advice. I will reject him because he said reject all gurus. I will reject him. I'm following his philosophy. I'll take his advice and reject him. So so that is, this is going on. You cannot describe in words. Therefore, why are you speaking? Prabhupada used to say. If you can't describe it, why are you talking? Why do we have to listen to you then? Follow your own philosophy. So here in the purport, philosophers whose hearts are impure and mistakenly presume the truth is instead paroksha can only be speculated upon and never experienced directly. The knowledge of such thinkers may help them dispel certain doubts and misconceptions about the lesser aspects of reality, but it is useless for transcending material illusion and approaching the absolute truth. So then again in the purport, as a general rule, only devotees who faithfully render loving service to the Supreme Lord up to the point of complete purification receive his grace in the form of aparoksha gyan, direct realization of his greatness and wonderful compassion. And so then I'll go down to one nice quote from Sri Chaitanya Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tatagura vasaite kutita yata prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So we cannot, in the darkness, we cannot say, tell the sun to rise. Nighttime, you cannot say, okay, I want to see the sun. So now we are in the darkness of ignorance. We cannot say, okay, I want to see Krishna. I want to see God. In the darkness, who are you? Who are you to tell God to come in front of you? And so similarly, we cannot make the sun rise. And so let's see what Sridhar Swami says. Referring to those who desire liberation, Sridhar Swami prays, Tapan tutapai prapatan tu parvatad atan tu tirtani patan tu chagaman yajantu yakai vi vadantu vadel harim vina naiva mritim charanti. Let them suffer austerities, throw themselves from mountaintops, travel the holy places, study the scriptures, worship with fire sacrifices, and argue various philosophies. But without Lord Hari, they will never cross beyond death. In Krishna book, Prabhupada said, a devotee is never afraid of death or changing his body. His consciousness is transformed into Krishna consciousness. And even if he does not go back to Godhead, even if he transmigrates, to another material body, he has nothing to fear. Bhagavad Gita says, a devotee is never vanquished. What verse? Kuntiya Patijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Devotee's path to spiritual kingdom, back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Even though a devotee slips in one birth, the continuation of Krishna consciousness elevates him further and further until he goes back to Godhead. Nothing is lost. In other words, not only can a pure devotee easily surpass death, but by his grace, his followers can also do so without difficulty. Power of devotional service is so great, a pure devotee can electrify another person by his transcendental instruction on crossing over the ocean of nations. There is one verse in 11th canto, which I was studying, and it said that the jnanis, or there are those who are able to cross over the ocean of material miseries, but without accepting the Supreme Lord, they fall down into tiny puddles of anger.
Tiny?
Puddles. Small little water, uh-huh. Like calf's hoof print puddles.
Yeah.
Anger.
Anger.
Yes. Tiny puddles of anger. They may even cross. So these jnanis, some of them may make it across and get free of the material world, but then they drown in tiny puddles of anger. Yeah, Mayavadis. Mostly jnanis. Jnanis.
So they don't get what they want.
No. They lose it. When they get angry, they do all these austerities, they do so many things, but then they get angry and then they lose the fruits of their austerities when they get angry.
What they want is negation.
Yeah. But then they get angry, or this is Maya, that's Maya, and then they fall. They fall down like that. Some of them. So Prabhupada says, the instructions of a pure devotee to his disciple are very simple. No one feels any difficulty in following the footsteps of a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyone who follows, then he gives Lord Brahma, Shiva, Kumaras, the 12 Mahajans, and their followers very easily finds the door of liberation open. So take your choice, the 6 darshans or Srila Prabhupada in the Sipic succession. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it's his appearance day today. And he was very famous. We heard in class today that impersonalists, when they would see him coming, they would cross to the other side of the street. So they would avoid meeting him, because they knew they would be finished if he saw them. They were so afraid of him. So Prabhupada says the karma, jnana, yoga, and karma are contaminated. They're contaminated paths. Contaminated persons, although apparently advanced in self-realization, cannot even liberate themselves, what to speak of those who follow them. So they talk about liberation, yes, but they don't get it. In Bhagavad Gita, they are condemned as Veda-Vara-Rata. They can't understand the Vedas deal with activities of material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But as Lord Krishna advised Arjuna, one has to go beyond the jurisdiction of duties prescribed in the Vedas, nishchaigunyo bhavarjuna. So that's another verse that defeats karmakanda in Bhagavad Gita. That's 2:45, nishchaigunyo bhavarjuna.
Karmakanda,
not karma yoga. So Prabhupada has a very beautiful statement here in the Krishna book, because it talks about how everyone is bound by the Vedas. Prabhupada says, the Krishna conscious movement therefore issues a supreme call to all kinds of religionists, asking them with great authority to join this movement, by which one can learn how to love God and thus surpass all formulas and formalities of scriptural injunction. A person who cannot overcome the jurisdiction of stereotype religious principles is compared to an animal chained up by his master. Krishna book, yeah. The purpose of all religion is to understand God and develop one's dormant love of Godhead. If one simply sticks to the religious formulas and formalities, does not become elevated to the position of love of God, he is considered to be a chained animal. Prayer is a personified Vedas. Have fun. Now you have to read the whole chapter.
That was the only chapter that escaped the children.
Now you have to read it. Have fun. Chapter 87, Krishna book, that's my reference. But it's a beautiful statement. And in other words, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, he's not eligible for liberation, for contamination of material existence. And so now, I was reading the diary of Indradyumna Swami. He was talking about, he was at the Parliament of World Religions, and different people were giving their talks, and he made friends with a lot of people from different, there was one sheikh, one Mohammedan from the Middle East, and this one, a Mohammedan once is trying to make peace in the Middle East. So he was asking Maharaj what his philosophy was, and what our philosophy, and the Maharaj was saying that everyone is brothers, we have the same father, and therefore everyone is children, so therefore we should see everyone as our brother. So then he went to the talk of this Sheikh Ali is his name. And the Sheikh was, at the end, he uses Maharaj's words, and he smiled at Maharaj. And he also went to Maharaj's program, too.
Sheikh,
his name is Sheikh Ali. Ali. Yeah, some Arab, an Arab person, Arabian person.
Sheikhs and Sunnis.
Sheikh.
Yeah. Sunnis, but
Sheikh, yeah, that's Sheikh, heavy. Sheikh. Sheikh, heavy, heavy ones, no? Just see.
Is there not a way that Muhammad exists and that he is a prophecy? Like Jesus, they're not.
Yeah, I'm sure there's Christians like that too. Don't accept. They might accept Jesus, but not what he says. It's the main problem.
They're just urinating on
the place where he
took his body, Muhammad.
So, anyway.
In Arabian countries.
So, we have these problems that they are tied up by their own philosophy. And so they cannot get liberation. They all have their own problems, all these philosophies. Right. Fighting with each other. So we'll read what Prabhupada says. He paraphrased Sridhar Swami. Let others engage in severe austerities. Let others fall to the land from tops of hills and give up their lives. And one of our modern philosophers did that. I think, what was his name? Sartre or Camus, one of the
Sartre.
Camus, because his philosophy is it's all useless, right?
Yeah.
Everything's life is useless. There's no purpose. So he followed his philosophy. He drove off a mountain and committed suicide.
Recently?
No.
No,
long time ago, huh?
In the '60s.
Camus wrote about it, but he didn't.
Too bad he didn't wait a few more years. For Prabhupada. He might have saved him.
French.
Yes. Let them engage, let them travel to many holy places of pilgrimage for salvation, or let them engage in deep study of philosophy and Vedic literature. Let the mystic yogis engage in their meditational service, and let the different sects engage in unnecessary arguing as to which is the best. So that's example there. But it is a fact, unless one is Krishna conscious, Prabhupada puts a lot more words in there than we have in our translation, unless one is engaged in devotional service, and unless one has the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot cross over this material ocean. And Prabhupada says, an intelligent person, therefore, gives up all stereotyped ideas and joins the Krishna conscious movement for factual liberation. So then there's a verse 431:11. Shutena tapasa vakim vachobis chitta vrittibi bhutya vakim vipunaya balen balenandriya radasa. Without devotional service, what is the meaning of severe austerities, process of hearing, power of speech, power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and power of the senses? 431:11. And in Mukunda Mala Stotra, there's a wonderful verse. All glories to Lord Narayan. Without remembrance of his lotus feet, recitation of scripture is merely crying in the wilderness. Regular observance of severe vows and joining the Vedas is no more than a way to lose weight. Austerities. Execution of prescribed pious duties is pouring oblations into ashes. Bathing at various holy sites is no better than an elephant's bath. So Mukunda, this is, what was his name who wrote this? Gulak Shekhar Maharaj was very, very heavy preacher also. Very heavy. So remembrance is the goal, and if you don't remember Krishna, maybe you can become very skinny by your austerities and lose weight, but that will be your only gain. You will not gain liberation. You will not please the Lord, so you will not be pleased also. Have to remember Krishna day and night. And Prabhupada also quotes the verse, Aradito yadi haris tapasata takim. Unless you're worshipping Krishna, what is the use of your austerity? And if you're not worshipping Krishna, what is the use of your austerity? Naradito, let's see, where is it? Oh, here it is, from Nara Pancharatra. Aradito yadi haris tapasata takim. Naradito yadi haris tapasata takim. Antar bahir yadi haris tapasata takim. Nantar bahir yadi haris tapasata takim. And if, yeah, Narada Pancharatra, if one can understand the Lord is all-pervading, what is the use of your penance? And if you can understand that he's all-pervading, what is the use of your austerities? Wonderful verse. In fact, what is the use of all austerities?
No need.
Except to chant Hare Krishna and follow the four regulative. Our austerity is following the four regulative principles.
And chanting Hare Krishna.
Chanting Hare Krishna is not an austerity. Following the four regulative principles is austerity for some people. Chanting Hare Krishna. This is, we don't consider chanting Hare Krishna austerity. Of course, some people may at some point in their lives. But so Prabhupada says that sometimes the frog philosopher, he's speculating, and maybe it's like that, maybe like that, but he's simply wasting his time. And they didn't have education. But sometimes the people in India, when we first came, they were criticizing, or even Prabhupada's godbrothers, that we weren't doing it properly. We were not doing the rituals like properly. So one time Prabhupada's disciples, they were doing a fire sacrifice. And Prabhupada was there, his godbrothers were there, and they were criticizing, oh, he didn't do that right, he made a mistake there, he didn't. Prabhupada said, oh, it's all right, they're just practicing. Because actually, it's not the most important thing. Actually, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the main thing. And that is, what Prabhupada's point was, the cowherd girls, they didn't have any education. They weren't Vedantists, but they learned to love Krishna, and that is the actual goal, and that is the purpose of all these austerities and penances and purpose of life. So that's the qualification. We'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments on these two verses, Kalpit? These two verses? No. What is your question about? Okay, we'll get to that. First, let's go on these verses, and then we'll... Yes? Well, it's technically, we belong in the category of spiritual energy, but if you want to get more technical, then we're marginal, which means we can go either way. Marginal is the minute, we're very minute. Spiritual energy is big, but we are marginal, so therefore we're very small. We're marginal.
How?
We're on the margin. How? We see both sides and we choose one way and we go that way. And we're very small. We're very small. So we have to be either with the spiritual or with the material. Yeah, yeah. So we say, okay, that side looks good. I'll go there, see if I can be God. I mean, these people are being God over here, and this, you know, here you have to worship. But then the pure devotees, oh yes, this is very nice. I want to be servant. I want to be the servant of Krishna. He's beautiful.
Yeah,
right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamayudya. So material energy is divine also. Actually, they're all spiritual, and we are para prakriti according to Bhagavad Gita. So we should, you know, we should have some control, but unfortunately we're so small because we're marginal, jiva, we're marginal. That's the smallness comes in the marginal category also. Yeah, yeah. So we can depend on the spiritual, we can depend on the material, or be controlled by that one or that one. But we do have this small little choice, which got us in trouble here. And here we are today. Made one little mistake. Yes? Aprayam itastanyam. We are superior. Yeah. According to Bhagavatam, yaya samohito jiva, we are covered by maya. We're bewildered into thinking, actually we're spiritual, but we're thinking we're material. We're identifying with the material. We're spiritual, but again, here's the illusion. The illusion is that we're thinking we're material, whereas we're actually spiritual.
The enemy is my body and the my body's us.
We are my bodies. Yes, we are also thinking I'm this body. This is the illusion. There is an illusion here that we are this body. And we want it to be Brahman. We want it to be the controller. We are given by the mother is giving us a reflection of the moon. Yes, I'm giving you the moon. But actually it's a reflection. It's not the real moon. So our identities are a reflection of the reality. Okay, another question on this, or comment on this verse? And we'll go, yes? That is the Mayavadis. That is the Mayavadis idea. We are not Brahman, but you can say we are Brahman, but we are very, very, very minute particle of Brahman. No, that's their idea. That's what they say. But they mean the big Brahman is covered. And so then you get the idea, well, maybe part of Brahman is covered and part is liberated. Or if one of the Brahmans gets liberated, everybody should get liberated because they're all the same.
How Brahman can be divided?
Brahman is undividable. Point. Very good. Very good.
And then part and parcel of Krishna cannot be divided. Spiritual energy cannot be divided. Also.
But our identity is... Jiva Loke, what is that? It's 15, Mamai Bangsha, Jiva Loke. We are eternally divided. Angsha. We are eternally. No, we are eternally, that's the fact. It's just the fact. Not because he, anything. We are eternally Angsha. We are eternally separated particle of Brahman. We are not.
One Lord, because wanting to become many. So
what do you say to that? That's about Mahavishnu. Yes. That is about Krishna. That's not about us. We are not the one that wanted to become many. So we can also become Nityasiddha. We can also become, or with the Nityasiddhas, equal to them. But we can become Mukta. Mukta Jiva. Jivan Mukta. Okay. Any other questions or comments on these two verses? Otherwise, we can go to Kalpit, what was your question? Wait, slowly, slowly. Mm. Happiness and distress are mental concoctions. Mm. And? Keval Anandakanda. Yeah, that is the reality. Okay, is our happiness a mental concoction if we're not liberated? Material happiness. So what you have to understand is what he's talking about here. There is a distinction. There's two kinds of happiness. Actually, three kinds. But in your case, what you're talking about, there's two kinds. One is the material happiness and distress. And that is a mental concoction. That this is good, this is bad. And this is wonderful, this is nice, I'm suffering here, this will make me happy, this will make me suffer. This is a concoction. But the happiness you get from spiritual life, that is a reality. That's not a concoction. So when you chant Hare Krishna, that is the real happiness. When you see Krishna in the temple, that's real happiness. And when you and you can experience it before you're liberated. Otherwise, how are you ever going to join if you don't experience any happiness in Krishna consciousness? And someone also asked me when in one japa class, are we allowed to be happy when we chant? Is it okay? You know, I feel guilty that I'm being happy. No, this is the idea. The more Krishna conscious you become, and the more free you are from the material conception of happiness and distress, then the more happy you become. That's what it means, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, because it frees you from... Actually, the misery is that we think that this is happiness and this is distress, and so therefore we're miserable when we don't get the happiness and when we get what it seems to be distress. But for the devotee, even distress is happiness. The so-called material distress is happiness. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. I think this was by Prabhupada Saraswati, that devotee, he sees the whole world is full of happiness. How is it possible? The example was given, if you fall into a mine, a salt mine, and you taste salt everywhere, so you fall in this material world, distress is everywhere. It's Martya Loka, place of death. But the devotee sees it's Vishram Purna Sukhayate. He's full of happiness. So how is that possible? Because by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he's chanting the holy name, and he's experiencing real happiness. Yes. Easy step back to Godhead.
Easy step.
It's Krishna's energy. Distress is also Krishna's energy. And you can use it either way, to make yourself more entangled, angry, unhappy, or you can use it to go back to Godhead. You can see everything in two ways.
And a certain type of happiness is Brahmananda.
Brahmananda, right. But without Sevananda, then Brahmananda is also temporary. Somebody asked Prabhupada, do you fall down from the Brahman? One time some devotee asked, do they fall down from Brahman? And in one of his moods he said, where's the question of fall down? They're already fallen. How can they fall down? They're already in a fallen condition. Brahman is a fallen condition. So I hope the next verses are going to have some more bhakti. This afternoon we will have, after the break, 28, 29, and 30. Yes. Yes. In honor of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, we are discussing the impersonalism. Yeah. The last verse we're going to go back. We'll go back to the impersonalism in verse 30. So be prepared. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.